Every champion has a team behind them. And for thousands of families without insurance, Christ Clinic is that team. At Christ Clinic in Katy, Texas, they provide high-quality, faith-based health care to people who can't afford it. Because everyone deserves a shot at health, no matter their income or insurance status. Their doctors, volunteers, their mission, rooted in compassion. Their impact, over 10,000 patient visits every year and growing. But they can't do it without help from fans like you. If you ever cheered for a comeback story, this is your chance to be a part of one. Donate today at ChristClinicKaty.org and help them keep the doors open for those who need it most. One gift can be the difference between surviving and thriving. Christ Clinic in Katy, where health meets hope and faith goes to work. That's Christ Clinic Katy, spelled KATY.org. Team up with them today.
All right, a good evening and welcome aboard another installment here of Sports Overnight America. For the next hour, we will regale you with the world of sports in detail as we talk the world of sports here each and every weekday. 6 to 7 Eastern, 5 to 6 Central, and we're 3 to 4 on the West Coast as, again, we get after it. A lot of baseball to get to, kind of check the daily headlines. You know, Dodgers, obviously a win tonight. And they will be home free against the Milwaukee Brewers. It's going to be interesting to see how Milwaukee gets off the mat, and we shall see. As you are listening to the overnight, you will know, no question about it. And the other one, obviously, Toronto got off the mat on Wednesday night, 13-4. Springer put a charge into a ball early. They just got the bats going, and so here we go. And they did it off Kirby, by the way. And Kirby just... I mean, the guy's a great pitcher, but man, when he hangs that breaking pitch, these guys just absolutely feast on it. So there you go. The big college football news is, you know, Penn State is scuffling here a little bit. James Franklin, again, fired earlier this week, as you know. And obviously, they're looking to replace him. Kurt Cignetti at Indiana, he's staying put 8 years, $93 million. And, Matt Rhule basically has ruled out returning to State College. He was a walk-on with the Nittany Lions. He's been on a, you know, kind of a vagabond tour. You know, Carolina in the pros. Now he's at Nebraska. He was at Baylor. And, you know, we shall see Temple. And he obviously was somebody that Penn State wanted to talk to. But he said today he's staying put. But, you know, we shall see on that one. I think they're going to come back maybe with a number that Troy Dannon, the AD over at Nebraska, who's a guy we know, he's an Iowa guy. We shall see. We'll wait to see on that. But a lot of football talk, NFL variety here on a Thursday into a football Friday. Every day is Sunday. The author of that great book is Ken Belson. He's going to join us for the first two segments. How Jerry Jones, Robert Kraft, and Roger Goodell turned the NFL into a cultural and economic juggernaut. That's a word I learned from Dom, juggernaut. Ken Belson, he'll kick it off first two, and then a little bit later on, we'll talk to Dave Fleming about a very interesting Dallas team in the NFL. We're coming right back. Don't go away.
My fellow Americans, let the message ring out that from this day forward, when you buy American, you buy the best. Handcrafted. Something premium, something pure. For this is the very essence of what our servicemen and women gave their lives to protect, and by God, we shall not allow their sacrifice to be forgotten. It's time to show the world just how great American can be. And we will not wait for tomorrow to come. We will stand here, this moment, together, and we will start today. Celebrate responsibly.
Every champion has a team behind them. And for thousands of families without insurance, Christ Clinic is that team. At Christ Clinic in Katy, Texas, they provide high-quality, faith-based health care to people who can't afford it, because everyone deserves a shot at health, no matter their income or insurance status. Their doctors, volunteers, their mission, rooted in compassion, their impact, over 10,000 patient visits every year and growing. But they can't do it without help from fans like you. If you ever cheered for a comeback story, this is your chance to be a part of one. Donate today at ChristClinicKaty.org and help them keep the doors open for those who need it most. One gift can be the difference between surviving and thriving. Christ Clinic in Katy, where health meets hope and faith goes to work. That's Christ Clinic Katy, spelled KATY.org. Team up with them today.
Do you have a book? Get it out of your mind and make it a real book with a free guide to book publishing. Trying to publish a book yourself can be complicated. It takes a lot of time. Time that you could spend writing your book or even more books. Do what you do best. We can do the rest. Thousands of authors across the nation have trusted our book publishing service. We have the connections to help you get your book printed, distributed, and sold on Amazon, Apple Books, Barnes & Noble, and bookstores nationwide. We can do it faster than you can on your own. Get your free guide to publishing. It's a free phone call. Remember, make this free call right now and learn how to turn your book into something real that people can buy. Get your free writer's guide. Call right now. 800-482-8399. 800-482-8399. 800-482-8399. That's 800-482-8399.
All right, on a Thursday into a football Friday, Sports Overnight America, Marty Terrell here on Sports Byline. Across the country on iHeart, TuneIn Pro, and we are heard round the globe on the American Forces Radio Network. We salute all our men, servicemen and women, the officers and the gentlemen of our military forces, and they love as much NFL talk as we can give them and serve up. They gobble it up. Let's get him in here. This is a good one, and I'm a fan. Ken Belson, New York Times, back with his byline in the Times, and he has penned, I don't think you pen book anymore, is he has hit the keyboard for a beautiful book called Every Day is Sunday, How Jerry Jones, Robert Kraft, and Roger Goodell turned the NFL into a cultural and economic juggernaut. Ken Belson, my name's Marty Terrell. Thanks for popping on, and we've got you for a couple of segments, and I'm glad because there's a lot of real estate to cover. How are you, Ken? Thanks for popping on.
Appreciate it, Marty. I'm doing well. Thank you.
I want to start with the owners. Why is Kraft and Jones so powerful? And, you know, on your, you know, obviously you got Kraft, Jones, and of course the commissioner, we'll get to him in a moment. But, you know, in the past, owners like the, and to this day, Mara, Rooney, Hunt, Ross, Ford, Kroenke, even back in the day, Philadelphia, of course, Jeff Lurie, but then there, you know, the Leonard Tose, all sorts of interesting people. And then, you know, San Francisco with the Yorks and the DeBartolos. Why is it Jones and Kraft, Ken?
Yeah, that's a good question. And boy, you knew that, you know, the rundown there. You know, they both came into the league at a critical time, the late 80s, early 90s, when the salary cap came in, when the free agency came in, and most of all, which most fans don't really pay attention to, is revenue sharing, where they basically cut the players in on 50% of everything. And that really brought the stability. They didn't have the strikes, the threat of strikes and lost games that they'd had through the 80s. And it put kind of a foundation under the league. And from that, that's where they got the media deals. From Fox Sports that came in, and then we had Sunday Night Football with NBC and so forth. Jerry and Robert both understood the power of media more than most owners. Back in the day, until the late 80s, 90s, it was basically one owner who dealt with it. It was Art Modell. He was an old ad man. Jerry understood you need to run an auction. You need multiple bidders for individual packages that they had, NFC package and so forth. He was the one who sort of jazzed up the process. And Robert, actually, when he joined, he had already owned an affiliate in Boston. So they both had kind of media savvy, media network contacts, and that was really the difference maker for the two of them.
Yeah, Ken Belson with us. New York Times, again, an outstanding book. There's, like I said, so much real estate to cover here. I guess where I want to go next is, you know, you got the owners and you have this commissioner. And Goodell's an NFL lifer, is he not? I mean, he came out of college and basically I think he had one little internship either with the Jets or Giants, and then it was right to Roselle's office in New York City. This is an NFL lifer, and obviously he – you cannot really argue the body of his work, but people will. Injuries, drug use, suspensions, you know, the television stuff, the media rights that you just mentioned. Legalized gambling now has formed partnerships. You can't get away from it. I mean, these are all crazy, crazy things that we thought about in yesteryear. What about Goodell?
Yeah, he's got a very unique resume, as you pointed out. 45 years at the league. He's done practically every kind of job outside of, say, the general counsel's office, because he doesn't have a law degree. He was the fix-it man for Paul Tagliabue all those years, international, getting new stadiums, as you said, basically helping the owners solve problems. And so when Tagliabue retired in 2006, Roger was the most natural person to take the job, because he operationally knew how it worked, and he knew all the owners. He, in fact, he had even dated some of the owners' kids. So he was as familiar as you get. And, you know, this is something of a misconception about Roger. He's not like a traditional CEO, like a Bob Iger at Disney, let's say. He's not a general, a field general, right? He does have his ideas, but ultimately he listens to whatever the owners want, and he puts that into action. He was compared in the book to a Senate majority leader. He's constantly counting votes, trying to figure out what the owners want to do. And that's really his, I guess you'd say, main gift.
Ken Belson is joining us, New York Times. And Ken, I want to make this next question solely about you. When you came up with the idea to write this book, what was your number one or two goal as you sat down to put this great book together? What was your goal?
Thank you. Yeah, you know, I'm a business writer. I've been a business writer for 30 years. I've been amazed. You know, the NFL is about $23 billion in revenue. It's about the size of Kraft Foods, Marriott Hotels, you know, big established brands. But if you ask the average person how big is the NFL, they'd kind of say it's like Walmart. And so I've been intrigued how a league that is a big business, don't get me wrong, is perceived to be so much bigger. It's everywhere. I've been around America, overseas. I've met so many people, and you tell them you write about the NFL, and their eyes light up. Some people don't like the NFL, or they have problems with the NFL, but they know about the NFL. And so I've just been intrigued as a business story. How are they so big in mind share, even though they're not as big as, say, a Walmart or an Amazon? So that was sort of the thing I tried to peel back the curtain on. This didn't happen by accident. This happened by a lot of very smart people sitting down kind of trying to make the league into a 365-day-a-year business.
That is so fascinating. All right, real quick on this, because I don't want to spend a ton of time on it. There again, a lot of real estate to cover here. The NFL Europe was a disaster, and I'm convinced it didn't work because they had European cities' names. The names seemed like the World League of American Football, USFL. It just it came across as, I don't know why, I won't say low budget. I mean, but it just, I don't know, it never resonated. What does resonate, though, is when these American teams and that NFL shield shows up anywhere across the globe, right? I mean, that's the bottom line. NFL, they don't want the other stuff, right?
Yeah, you know, you tapped into something. I think what fans know is, even if they're not playing the game, they know authenticity, right? You know, we have soccer teams come over to America, and they're quote-unquote friendlies. And the big stars might play for 5 minutes, and then they bow out. I think fans know what they're really getting, which is really just a show. They're not getting real competition. The same was true of those leagues. Until the league brought regular season games to London first, and now other countries, I think fans didn't take it seriously. You know, they like the American show, but they want to know the game is of consequence and that the players are playing their hardest. And taking nothing away from those European leagues, they just didn't feel that way. It wasn't American caliber NFL football. It was people playing and trying to make it to the NFL. So I guess you would say it's almost like a minor league game rather than a major league game.
No question about that. It's a wonderful book. Again, every day is Sunday. It's done by Ken Belson, Grand Central Publishing, which is Hatchet Books in New York and Boston. And I'm telling you, folks, the book is a great read. All right, I want to get to the fact that the NFL can – we go to break here in 2 minutes. It's, let's be honest, it's 365, 24/7. They can televise the schedule release, the combine. I'm convinced they could probably do a show, a reality show on where Roger Goodell spends his summer, probably on Martha's Vineyard. I don't know. But, the fact that the NFL sells, give me a couple of minutes on that, and then we'll take a break and come back. Go ahead. Let me hear.
Yeah, no, you tapped into it. We roll right out of the Super Bowl into the combine. There's all this programming about who's going to run the 40-yard dash at what speed and so forth, and then you right into free agency and then right into the draft, and now the draft, it used to be all those years ago in New York. Now it's a road show, and cities are lining up to host it and pay to host it. And then, yeah, you mentioned my favorite, the schedule announced in May when most of us should be watching baseball or playoff basketball. So the NFL has been very deliberate about filling in the calendar. The season will get longer when they finally reach an agreement with the players. We'll get to 18 regular season games. The Super Bowl will end up on President's Day weekend, which will turn it into a three-day Super Bowl party, if you will. So, there's a grand plan to keep filling in the calendar, and they're doing a pretty darn good job of it right now.
All right, we got a lot of real estate to cover, as I keep saying. Coming up, 18 games. What about Brady in the booth, the gambling, the streaming? The NFL and the NFL Network and ESPN, is there a conflict of interest? Whew. Ken Belson with us. What a treat to get him for a first half and a second half here on Sports Overnight America, across the country and around the globe. We're coming right back.
Okay, let's have a little fun. Do you use the expensive blue pill to perform better? Are you thinking about it? So what if we can promise you results for less than $1 a pill? Okay, so these same pills can cost you $30 or more at a pharmacy. And our better blue pill works for less than $1 a pill. You'll save $29 or more per pill. And right now, we'll give you 120 blue pills for just $99. Have a little fun and call right now. Get 120 of our better blue pills for just $99. Don't overpay for the other blue pills. Call Steel Man Pills right now and get the better blue pill for less than $1 a pill. Call 1-800-BUY-BLUE, 1-800-BUY-BLUE. It's easy to remember. 1-800-BUY-BLUE. That's 1-800-BUY-BLUE. And thanks for calling.
I am an American veteran. I'm proud to have served this country. Helping veterans is something all Americans can participate in, and it's as simple as donating an old car that you have sitting around. When you call the Veteran Car Donation Program, they'll explain how their program works and then arrange a time they can come and pick up your vehicle for free. Running or not, it doesn't matter. They take cars, trucks, motorcycles, or vans. Show your support by donating your car and get a tax deduction in the process. Call the Veteran Car Donation Program right now. They'll come and pick your car up for free, and you get a tax deduction in the process. Call the number we're about to give you right now. Thank you, and God bless America.
800-887-1097. 800-887-1097. 800-887-1097. That's 800-887-1097.
Do you have diabetes? I'm sure you've seen the television commercials on the new CGM devices from all the top brands and how well they can help you manage your diabetes. Do you have the latest and newest in diabetes technology? The Diabetes Solution Center carries most of the top brands, and the great news is your insurance may cover most of the cost. Call our special CGM hotline today, and our friendly representatives will help see if you qualify. You could get a new CGM from the top brands at little or no cost to you. Make living with diabetes easier. you are just one free phone call away to learn if your insurance covers the cost. So make this free call today to the Diabetes Solutions Center and learn for free how to get your new continuous glucose monitor.
800-659-7997. 800-659-7997. 800-659-7997. That's 800-659-7997.
All right, talking the world of sports again, the baseball games. We got Thursday night football, Cincinnati. It'll be Flacco and Aaron Rodgers in Cincinnati tonight. So we shall see. And again, that's the Amazon Prime. We'll save the streaming and the other stuff in a moment here. But Ken, I want to give you another query for just you and how the book came to be. You got the idea, you sat down. You talked to a ton of people to put this together. Did it start out thinking you'd have to engage that many people to accomplish the book and meet your goals and your expectations? Let me hear.
Yeah, I mean, you want to do as complete a job as you can. And obviously, Jerry Jones and Robert Kraft, a lot of NFL executives, past and present, because my book starts in the 90s. I sat down with Paul Tagliabue, some of the lawyers who worked at the league, some of the marketing people. And then, you know, you start hearing stories, I remember when, stories, and, you know, you never know if they're fully accurate. So you ask those stories to other people. Well, what about the time Jerry Jones did this? And then, so people give you kind of recollections, and you have to triangulate a few stories. One of the chapters is on the 2011 lockout, which lasted for 135 days or so. They didn't miss any games, but it was contentious on both sides, players and the owners, and so there were a lot of people involved in that. So I don't know, probably 100-150 different interviews over the course book, and it was a lot of work. But I mean, you know, I've covered the NFL for years, so there were folks who would pick up the phone. I wasn't a stranger to most of them, and that helped. And of course, you do a little name dropping along the way. So hey, I just spoke to Jerry. Oh, really? Okay, so the people will talk to you that way too.
There you go. Ken Belson with us. Again, Amazon, Barnes & Noble. And again, I've got it, and it's a great read. Again, Grand Central, a division of Hatchet Books in New York, is the publisher. All right, how close are we to getting to 18 games? And do you believe part two or part B of the question is, are we going to get a team in the UK? Is it coming?
First question, we'll get to 18. The labor deal goes through the end of this decade. There's a bit of turmoil. The union lost its executive director a few months back, and so I'm not really sure how the leadership is the new leadership there is working with the players. I don't think the players are in a rush right now for 18 games. I think they think 17's a lot. But, you know, the NFL will try and dangle extra money for the players, and there will be a new generation of players that will have to make that decision in 3 or 4 years. So I'd say by the end of the decade. And that will bring in yet more media money because it'll create a lot more games, whole full week of them. I'd say by the end of the decade, we'll get there. On London, it's going to be very complicated. I just think back to the football logistics of it. If your middle linebacker gets injured on a Sunday and you're playing in Wembley or in London somewhere, you got to have a tryout for new linebackers, right? So typically a team will call 5 or 6 free agents. They'll fly them in from Arizona, from California. They'll do a tryout at the team facility. And one of the guys will win the workout and stay and get on the roster. It's pretty hard to do that with London. When I asked the Chiefs owner, Clark Hunt, when are we going to get a team in London, he said, when we get supersonic travel, when it's a 3 or 4 hour flight, not a 6, 7, 8 hour flight as it is if you're in, say, Arizona or Texas. So it's going to take some time, and I know from my own reporting, I traveled with the Seahawks years ago to London. Most of the players don't even have passports. So, you know, you're making it logistically complicated, and you're putting that team in London at a real disadvantage. So they're going to need a lot of other problems solved before they get to that idea of a franchise there.
Yeah, Ken Belson, the author, New York Times writer, outstanding job on Every Day is Sunday. But, you know, the NFL is 365, 24/7, and obviously Thursday nights, and then of course you've got the Saturday during the month of December, I want to say maybe even November, and then obviously Super Bowl Sunday and Monday night and Christmas Day. It doesn't matter. The NFL is there. That being said, I have a problem. One of my subtopics or headlines for you, Ken, is Brady in the booth. I have a huge problem with that. I'm a New England guy originally. I'm a big Patriot fan. I love Tom Brady. I don't like the fact that he owns a piece of the Raiders, and he's the most prominent broadcaster in the country. Not worthy of it yet, but he is. He's Tom Brady. I have a huge problem with it. Give me a take on Brady in the booth.
Yeah, it is problematic. I mean, there are so many ways in which the lines are blurred. You know, he's sitting in or has access to meetings with opposing coaches. I think coaches are just not going to want to talk to the Fox TV folks because they don't want to tip off any secrets. And Brady may be a straight arrow, but you just don't know. And it certainly has the appearance of being problematic. And I'm not even talking about, gambling or anything like that. I'm just talking about advantage. That the Raiders might have because Tom has certain intelligence. He's already out on the field and helping Mark Davis make decisions and perhaps kind of surrogate coaching. So it's already kind of complicated. I don't know how they extricate themselves from it except to say he can't be allowed in meetings with opposing coaches. But I think, frankly, coaches are super paranoid about giving away game secrets, and I think they're just not going to want to talk to Fox Sports or talk in such general terms as to be almost useless.
Gambling and pro sports, college sports, you name it. I mean, my gosh, some sites are even posting the Little League World Series. It's sick. But that genie, that gambling genie, is out of the bottle, never to return. How do you feel about this? Where are we going with this? I know there's fantasy football, but now the hardcore sides, money lines, the prop bets, the NBA has had a plethora of scandals. And, oh, by the way, Commissioner Adam Silver was really the leading force in professional sports coming around. So the NFL enjoy this, or do they feel a least bit queasy about the legal gambling element?
Yeah, it's interesting. There's a scene in the book where Roger Goodell goes to Las Vegas with Robert Kraft and Jerry Jones, and this was 2 years before it's almost a year before the Raiders get voted, to move there. And they met with county officials in Las Vegas. And one of the county commissioners told me, he said, you know, we were sitting there and they were not at all concerned about the threat of gambling. They were only interested, can Las Vegas sustain a team? What I took away from that was that they knew this was inevitable. And whether they liked it or not, the law was going to be overturned and that people were going to want to bet on football particularly. And so really, it's not for them to say whether people will or can vote on it. And they, you know, but I think it is a problem. They are making money off of sponsorships in practically every stadium now. And they sell the NFL data, the game data, to various sports books. That's where they make the money. They're not taking a cut of any gambling wagers. But, you know, it has the appearance of trying to get people hooked. And but, you know, as you said, the genie's out of the bottle. This would have happened with or without the NFL. They did resist it, at least on paper, until 2018 when the Supreme Court made its decision to overturn the ban on sportsbook gambling. So, you know, look, it's the reality. It's out there. I should put as a footnote, Jerry Jones and Robert Kraft also were early investors in DraftKings.
Yes, they were.
You know, they're businessmen too, and they saw this wave coming probably before most of us really did.
Yeah, streaming's here to stay, and now the NFL Network and ESPN. I mean, there's just so many seemingly conflicts of interest, Ken. What are we dealing with here? And then there's some fans, and obviously the older people don't like the streaming because they just want to turn on their TV. But again, that genie's out of the bottle too, because it is here to stay. It's going nowhere. Give me your take on television, streaming, and obviously this joint venture, however you want to describe ESPN and the NFL Network, Ken.
Yeah, the ESPN, I'll start there first. The ESPN thing was about getting rid of the NFL from being in the production business. They had a studio out in L.A. in Culver City, and then it was in Inglewood, California. And, you know, that's tens of millions of dollars a year. Now they don't need those studios. They'll give it to ESPN. They have scale. They can do it. They'll still be in the content generation business, but not the actual hardware business. So from that perspective, it was probably a good move. Plus, they got 10% of the venture, which is kind of a backdoor way of getting Disney stock. So, you know, these guys figure every angle. As for streaming, look, the NFL, one part of its success, besides the scarcity of games, is the fact that they've kept them on the over-the-air TV all these years. When a lot of other leagues moved to cable, the NFL never really did, other than those ESPN Monday night games. So, now those other leagues are really struggling. So I think the NFL was smart to have the biggest reach possible. They'll get probably 18 million fans tonight to watch the Bengals and the Steelers. The NBA Finals might get 7 million, something like that, depending on the team. So it's head and shoulders above because they have the reach. But look, Roger Goodell has said, I got to fish where the fish are. The fish are the young 20-somethings and 30-somethings who didn't buy a cable package, never will. They're only stream games. So they'll gradually increase the number of games. We're going to have Netflix on Christmas Day, Amazon on Black Friday. So little by little, you're going to see more streaming packages. But I would say the over-the-air games will be the bulk of them.
I want to go back, Ken, in our final couple minutes here, or 1 minute, and that is the relationship with Bob Kraft. You know, he was really down in the chapter, The Ultimate Middleman. He was really down on Goodell. He didn't like the Deflategate, the whole thing. I mean, he was defending Belichick, Brady, the whole 10 yards, and you had Spygate and the whole thing. Give me a minute on Kraft and Goodell. Are they good? Do you think they're good? Or is Kraft just that powerful that they have to be good? We only got about 30 seconds, so...
Yeah, there's a lot of hurt feelings there with Deflategate, Spygate. But look, they all are in business together. Robert Kraft said he took his lumps. He paid $1 million fine. At the end of the day, they're all getting wealthier, and they do it for the health of the league. So, look, they have egos, but at the end of the day, they're in it for the league.
We're out of time, Ken. Thank you very much. I'm Marty Terrell. We're coming right back here on Byline.
I'm holding in my hand the American Silver Eagle Dollar. It's a beautiful piece of American history, and it's 1 ounce of silver. Originally minted in 1986, these coins are a beautiful classic piece of American history, and they're a great investment you should add to your portfolio. The beauty of silver is that however much you have available to invest, silver is affordable and easy to acquire, with one coin costing around $30. So, if you choose to invest a few thousand in silver, you can get quite a bit for your money. And you'll have a tangible asset that you can hold, one you can be proud to own. Claim your piece of American history with American Silver Eagle Dollars. Call the Silver Hotline right now.
800-620-1624. 800-620-1624. 800-620-1624. That's 800-620-1624.
Every champion has a team behind them. And for thousands of families without insurance, Christ Clinic is that team. At Christ Clinic in Katy, Texas, they provide high-quality, faith-based health care to people who can't afford it. Because everyone deserves a shot at health, no matter their income or insurance status. Their doctors, volunteers, their mission, rooted in compassion. Their impact, over 10,000 patient visits every year and growing. But they can't do it without help from fans like you. If you ever cheered for a comeback story, this is your chance to be a part of one. Donate today at ChristClinicKaty.org and help them keep the doors open for those who need it most. One gift can be the difference between surviving and thriving. Christ Clinic in Katy, where health meets hope and faith goes to work. That's Christ Clinic Katy, spelled KATY.org. Team up with them today.
My fellow Americans, let the message ring out that from this day forward, when you buy American, you buy the best. Handcrafted. Something premium. Something pure. For this is the very essence of what our servicemen and women gave their lives to protect, and by God, we shall not allow their sacrifice to be forgotten. It's time to show the world just how great American can be. And we will not wait for tomorrow to come. We will stand here. Start today. Don't ever forget how great it is to be.
celebrate responsibly.
All right, we're giving you a lot of football, NFL, yesteryear, and the current days. Thanks to Ken Bell's, the New York Times. Every day is Sunday, and now we're going to take you back in time. This I love this. And very grateful to our next guest. His name is David Fleming. You've seen his byline. Places like ESPN and a host of other publications. He has got a book out right now. A big mess in Texas, the miraculous, disastrous 1952 Dallas Texans, and the craziest untold story in NFL history. David, my name is Marty Terrell. I am so grateful, and we're going to have some fun here for the next 12 minutes. How are you?
I'm great, Marty. How you doing? I appreciate the time.
I'm doing great. This one is, you know, I got favorite sports movies, you know, Slapshot for hockey, North Dallas 40 for football, and there's some others. Baseball, you could go any number of ways. I mean, Major League and so on and so forth. What made you come up with the idea? What gave you the idea to come up with a big mess in Texas? And was this the Animal House team of the 1952 NFL season? Let me hear, Dave.
Okay, first, Marty, if you're starting off with your favorite movie is Slapshot, I just had a Step Brothers moment where I feel like we just became best friends.
So, I love that movie. I love it.
That is the absolute best movie, and you're 100% right. This is like a cross between Slapshot and Animal House. And, I mean, it was crazy that I've covered the league for decades and had no idea about this team the first time the NFL tried to put a team in Texas, that it went so horribly, epically, hilariously wrong. I just can't believe that I somehow missed this incredible story.
I mean, it is really unbelievable. Who owned the team and what was this? I mean, it was just a disaster. And was this nuttiness just confined to the 52 season?
No. So the team was owned by a guy named Giles Miller, whose father was known at the time as the textile king of the Southwest. And poor Giles convinced his dad to invest the bulk of their family fortune into the NFL, and it essentially broke the family and broke Giles. And it's because people forget, you know, the NFL is so corporate and so buttoned down right now. Back in the 1950s, oh my God, it was chaotic. It was the NFL was hanging on by a string from week to week, and the Texans were there were 31 of the first 43 franchises in NFL history went bankrupt, and the Texans were the last team to go bankrupt right before all the TV money kicked in. So I'm glad you brought this up, because the 1950s, I feel like modern day fans would love this. But it was just the Wild West era of the NFL. It was violent and colorful and just crazy all the time.
You know, and the coach, who was stellar in their 1-win and 11-loss season, but Jimmy Fallon was, you know, a Notre Dame guy. He was a great college coach. But this was his foray into the National Football League. How about Jimmy Fallon? How much play did he get in the book? And I tell you what, he had his hands full with that roster.
Yeah, I'm so glad you brought him up, because Newt Rockne called him the smartest quarterback Notre Dame had ever had. So he had a great reputation until 1952. And essentially, I think he was just kind of playing out the string, and he really becomes a central. He's almost like a Casey Stengel character in the book. He's a coach who ends up hating practice more than the players do, and he was a pilot in the war, and he got known for, he would hotwire and borrow airplanes for joyrides from time to time, I think to get his mind off of his football team.
There was just, you know, paychecks weren't clearing. There was some real nuttiness. I mean, this is almost right out of you know, the World League, the United States, you know, some of these leagues that are here today and gone tomorrow. The XFL wouldn't have gone down that road because they were backed by pretty well-heeled business people who put in money they were not afraid to lose. But, man, this was more than the gang that couldn't shoot straight, huh? I mean, there was nuttiness.
Yeah, it was. It became a ritual in Dallas. On every Friday, you could watch the Dallas Texans in their workout gear jogging through downtown Dallas to go to the bank to make sure that their checks would clear. And it was like a running of the bulls in Dallas. People would be watching them, and we're not even scratching the surface of the stuff that this team did. They were just notorious drinkers and partiers. During games, before games, after games, and they partied in a way that would put the modern day, even the Jimmy Johnson Cowboys, to shame.
David Fleming's our guest. You've seen his byline over three decades, Sports Illustrated, ESPN, great storyteller, and he's done that in print and verbally as he makes the circuit. The book came out on the 14th of October. A Big Mess in Texas, the miraculous, disastrous 1952 Dallas Texans, and the craziest untold story in NFL history. Is there any documentaries on the 52 Dallas Texans? If not, there should be. Any documentaries?
Yes. Well, I mean, I love that you started out with movies, because this has got to be a movie. Somebody has to make this team into a movie eventually. But NFL Films has done some short things on mm-hmm. the season and how crazy and sideways the whole thing went, because the team ends up getting purchased, or the team ends up being handed back over to the NFL, which then moves them to Hershey, Pennsylvania. So the Dallas Texans are playing out of Hershey, Pennsylvania for the last part of the 1952 season. But you're right, this is a movie I would pay money to go see.
Really interesting. I didn't know that. So they went to Hershey, Pennsylvania. When they were in Dallas, they played in the Cotton Bowl. And they became a traveling team, I'm reading here, Hershey, Pennsylvania, and ironically, Akron, Ohio, not far from the Football Hall of Fame, and nearby Canton, Ohio. How about this? And then, of course, ultimately, the American Football League Dallas Texans were solid, and they became the Kansas City Chiefs. So there's a little bit of, you know, confusion there with the 52 Texans NFL and the AFL Dallas Texans that ended up becoming the Chiefs. Isn't that interesting, huh?
Yeah, it's this team ends up becoming sort of like the Forrest Gump of the NFL. And I think what a lot of people don't know is, out of the disaster of the 1952 team in Dallas, this team mm-hmm. sort of secretly becomes the Johnny Unitas Baltimore Colts.
Yes,
and
they
I
did.
Think that's why the NFL doesn't really want a lot of people to know about it, because the Colts are sort of this iconic, you know, perfect franchise. And I love the fact that they started out as this just absolute mess in Texas.
This is so interesting. Again, they played in the Cotton Bowl, which back then had a capacity of over 70,000. I don't know if you know this off the top of your head, but did this team draw at all? Or did they draw because they were just so crazy and quirky?
No, and that was, you know, before television revenue, they relied solely on gate receipts. And if you see pictures of the home games, it looks like they're playing on the moon, because there's just these huge swaths of empty Cotton Bowl cement bleachers, and yeah, Dallas just wouldn't support them during 1952, and that's really the main reason they went bankrupt so quickly.
You know, they played one of their last home games in Akron at the Rubber Bowl. Not only did the checks bounce, I guess the players did too, huh?
Yeah, and you know what's crazy is, and you talk about this being made for a movie, the team actually comes together, and the roster was loaded. It's kind of surprising that they didn't do better. But there's this, against the Bears in Akron on Thanksgiving, the Dallas Texans do the impossible, and they beat the Chicago Bears in what the Chicago Tribune called the greatest upset in NFL history.
And it was on Thanksgiving Day, was it not?
Yes, and the reason we know that is George Halas was so angry afterwards as they had served the players turkey dinners, and George Halas went up and down the Bears charter flight and slapped the turkey dinners out of his players' laps because they had just lost to the worst team in history.
This is a great story. Dave, this is hilarious. I mean, and you're right. Someone has got to do, it's just got to do the movie. I mean, this is, it's right up there with Slapshot, I would at least hope in premise. What was the deal with the Ku Klux Klan, too? That could not have been good. Let's finish right there. What was that all about?
Yeah, and I'm glad you brought that up because there is a reason this team is lost to history, but it really shouldn't be because there's an important wrinkle to this story. Is one of the reasons why people wouldn't support them in Dallas was the Texans integrated Texas sports 15 years before the Texas Longhorns, and their two best players were Buddy Young and George Talaferro. And they were black, and what they had to endure and survive in the Jim Crow South while playing for the Texans, it's chilling and it's unbelievable. And one of those parts of those stories is they had to live in a neighborhood that had a series of house bombings by the KKK. So there's a serious important wrinkle to this crazy, crazy story.
Dave, I'm looking at your resume. I don't know how you get time to sleep, man. You are one busy cat. Let me ask you this question. How long did this book take?
I became obsessed with the story probably in 2017. And but the actual sort of like full-time research and writing, it took maybe 2.5 years. Wow. And I'll tell you a great story, though. The reporting for it, the book started when the grandson of the Texans owner is Rhett Miller, who is the lead singer of the great band, the Old 97s. And I actually started the research of the book by sneaking backstage at an Old 97s show and getting to talk to Rhett about his grandpa's history. And Rhett and I have sort of worked together sort of tying all this together. So it's been, as a music fan, it was fun having Rhett in on this project.
Dave, I really appreciate your time, man. This is a treat. A big mess in Texas, the miraculous disasters, 1952 Dallas Texans, and the craziest untold story in NFL history, our friend David Fleming. David, let's do this again sometime. Keep up the good work, and we'll see you, okay?
Oh, thanks, Marty. And I was going to quote Slapshot, but now I can't think of any great line. Oh, the air here makes me sick, makes me want to puke.
Oh, man, that's unbelievable. That movie is my all-time best. It is really no question about it.
I'm going to foil up.
That's right. That's right. Hey, listen, you take care. We'll talk to you down the way.
Okay, thanks again.
You got it. David Fleming and, Slapshot. Paul Newman, right? And then Bob Costas waxes poetically. And I think Costas while he was at Syracuse, he was doing minor league hockey. And that movie was based on, I think, the team that he was broadcasting for. No question about it. All right, we're coming back. We'll put a wrap on it. We got a two-minute drill. We got a couple timeouts in the quiver. So we will see what we can do with that, see if we can put it across the goal line. I'm Marty Truell, along with Dominic Jimenez. This is Sports Overnight America.
Do you have diabetes? I'm sure you've seen the television commercials on the new CGM devices from all the top brands and how well they can help you manage your diabetes. Do you have the latest and newest in diabetes technology? The Diabetes Solutions Center carries most of the top brands. And the great news is, your insurance may cover most of the cost. Call our special CGM hotline today, and our friendly representatives will help see if you qualify. You could get a new CGM from the top brands at little or no cost to you. Make living with diabetes easier. You are just one free phone call away to learn if your insurance covers the cost. So make this free call today to the Diabetes Solutions Center and learn for free how to get your new continuous glucose monitor.
800-659-7997. 800-659-7997. 800-659-7997. That's 800-659-7997.
Hey, airline travelers, let's say you have a problem and you need to change or cancel an existing airline reservation. What do you do? Well, SkyWatch is a free service that can help anyone with any airline reservation fix it. Whether you want to cancel it, change your dates, or add passengers, we can help fix your airline reservations so you get exactly what you need. We've updated our computer database and now have access to every airline around the globe. So now you can make one phone call, regardless of who booked your airline tickets, and we'll change it, cancel it, and fix it for you. We know the insider secrets to fixing reservations that the airlines don't want you to know about. So if you need to cancel, change, or modify an existing airline reservation, call SkyWatch right now. It's a free call, so let us fix it for you. 855-325-5647. 855-325-5647. 855-325-5647. That's 855-325-5647.
Hey, vacation lovers! It's finally time to use all those random facts you learned on TikTok for something that actually matters. It's the Radio Trivia Challenge from thevacationbuddies.com. All right, here's how it works. Be one of the first 10 callers right now and you'll score a complimentary 3-day, 2-night getaway from The Vacation Buddies. You'll stay at none other than Westgate Resorts in your choice of Vegas, Orlando, Myrtle Beach, or Branson. You ready? According to Travel Stats, which of these three cities is the most visited vacation destination in the U.S.? A, Las Vegas, B, Orlando, C, New York City. First 10 callers get the trip. So stop scrolling and start dialing. And let's see if TikTok actually taught you anything.
Be one of the first 10 callers. Call Vacation Buddies right now. 800-340-1834. 800-340-1834. 800-340-1834. That's 800-340-1834.
All right, down the home stretch we go. A little, no spoiler alert, but early on in that Milwaukee Dodger game, 1-1, and then later on, we will get crucial game four. I mean, again, Seattle can really, really put the heat on with a win, but if that thing draws even, I mean, home field has been the kiss of death, but the Dodgers would like to think that they can change that, and we shall see. Yeah, slap shot. That's right, the Hansons. I forgot that. The Hanson brothers. Based, you know, you had a team in Syracuse. You had that goofy player. You know, you had all sorts of what you have in minor league sports, right? All sorts of financial problems. Plus, it was a Rust Belt, you know, tough league, you know, through Pennsylvania and Ohio and upstate New York. But I'll tell you right now, there's some very successful hockey franchises along that Rust corridor of Rochester, Syracuse, into Pennsylvania with the Hershey Bears of the American Hockey League, and so and a whole bunch of others, And if you look at the American Hockey League, and I do follow it more than I care to admit, but Flow Hockey is a great spot to watch hockey at just about any level. I mean, the American Hockey League, I was watching it last weekend, man, and it's underway. And I'm telling you, they've got, I think they have as many, if not more, franchises than the big boys at the National Hockey League. American Hockey League's been around a long, long time. Does very well. All right, thank you, Dominic Jimenez. Thank you to Ken Belson on Every Day is Sunday. And thank you to David Fleming on the wacky and wild 1952 Dallas Texans of the National Football League, often mistaken for the Dallas Texans of the AFL, which are now the Kansas City Chiefs. Enjoy the baseball tonight, football as well, on Amazon Prime. For Dom Jimenez and the whole crew, I'm Marty Terrell. Adios. And catch you tomorrow here on Sports Overnight America. Adios.